Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action. Hi, everybody. It's Diane, and I am here with 7 simple tips to help you reduce your stress right now. That's 7 very simple tips to help you reduce your stress right now. Now, first, let's talk about stress. There is such a thing as good stress, and then there's stress that's not so hot. Maybe we could call it bad stress or toxic stress. But good stress does exist. To have some stress on the body actually helps it. It helps us get up off the couch instead of laying around all the time. It helps motivate us to get things done that we need to get done. So not all stress is bad stress. It becomes a problem. Our stress becomes a problem when it's impairing our health, our emotional well-being, or our lives in general. And we all know that stress over a long period of time can turn the immune system against us, can really cause problems in the body. Now, if we look at our human physiology, we are meant to be kind of at rest, at peace, kind of nice ups and downs most of the time, with short periods of stress, of high stress, and then a recovery time. That's how our neurology and our biology is designed. Mostly peace and harmony, short periods of stress, followed by a recovery time. The problem with that idea is, or that way, I guess, is that that's not how our life is right now in this century. Our life is more like stress, 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 no recovery time, keep going like machines. So our biology, our physiology, our emotions, our mind, everything, every part of us pays a price. So if we want to reduce the stress in our life, it is a good idea to begin to get closer to the way our neurology and our biology are designed. It's been like this for thousands of years, and our industrial time and our hurry, hurry, hurry and the overstimulation works against us. Why do you think so many people are stressed out or burned out or sick? You know, because stress can show up emotionally. It can show up with anger attacks and rage and frustration levels being really high. Road rage, that's from stress. It can also show up in poor digestion. It can show up in poor elimination. It can show up in poor sleep, poor diet, all of those things where we're not taking care of ourselves the way we should. And when we do try to, our bodies just don't work. And if you take stress over a long period of time, you end up with things like autoimmune issues, you know, and arthritis and things like that, that are simply long-term consequences of stress and inflammation and just all kinds of toxic things in the body. So stress is something that we want to learn how to understand it, and we want to learn how to work with it, not try to stop it or deny it. Rather say, all right, what are some things I can do to keep my stress level at a way that is okay for my body, for my mind, for how I want to function? I've spent many years of my life stressed out, tons of stress. My job has been very important. The work I do in working with people to help them save their lives is very intense. And there have been times over my 3 or 4 decade career now that have just really taken a toll because so many people need so many things. And it's Diane this, Diane that, and pretty soon my body starts feeling it. So you might be feeling something similar like that. If you have a big family or you're a supervisor or a CEO, you know, I work with visionary leaders. And the visionary leaders I work with often have people that they're responsible for, whether it's, you know, people underneath them in a company that they report to them, or whether it's other coworkers or whether it's family members. They have people that rely on them that they have to deal with. And so there's a lot of potential stress points. So here are the 7 tips that I use to teach my visionary leader clients and that I use personally in order to keep my stress level down. And the first one is belly breathing. And I know people always go, oh, breathing, there she goes again, talking about breathing. Well, air is your friend. That's right, air is your friend. I can always tell when somebody's moderating some type of pain, whether it's emotional or physical, because they're breathing out of right up here. They're breathing out of their chest and it's barely moving. And if I look at their stomach, if I look at their belly, there's no movement. That means the person is moderating some type of pain, known or unknown to them, conscious or unconscious, that's what it means. So the first step to help us reduce the stress and get the parasympathetic and the sympathetic nervous system to calm down is to belly breathe. Now the best way to do that is to start with a breath. Now you know our breath starts with an exhale, not an inhale. So whenever I say to people, take a breath, and they just did it backwards. It's exhale, blow all the air out, and then allow the air to gently come in so that your inhale and your exhale are around the same length of time. And then in order to reset this nervous system, we want to pause at the top and pause at the bottom for just a couple seconds. That's not sucking it in and holding it, that adds stress. It's a pause. So it looks like this. And if you noticed, as I exhale, my shoulders went down, because when we're stressed, our shoulders do this. So our shoulders go down. Maybe our jaw loosens a little to let everything just settle down. That belly breathing is so vitally important. If you do that for just 5 or 10 breaths, you know, just a few minutes, what you'll find out is your system will start to calm down. It's a great way to help if you're feeling stressed out, if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling pressure, or if you're trying to make a decision and fear is in the way. Fear is a form of stress. So give yourself the chance to just breathe for a second and see what's going on. It's probably one of the most important things, and yet so many people miss it. And so I want you to really practice breathing. So a homework assignment might be to lay on your back at least once during the day, if not right before you go to bed, and put a book on your belly, right over your belly button, and make that book go up and down. Now the inhale goes up, the exhale goes down. And I say that because a lot of people, especially women, have learned to suck it in on your inhale. That's backwards. That is contraindicated to our physiology. It doesn't work, and it adds stress to the system. Unknowingly, people are stressing themselves out simply by not breathing properly. So we're exhaling, holding for a couple, inhaling, holding for a couple, and then exhaling. So that's what we do. Belly breathing, most important thing. If I'm driving and there's a lot of weird drivers, or I'm stressed out and I notice myself holding my breath, which is a way humans medicate pain, the first thing I do is exhale and let my shoulders drop and let my body settle down. Then I can make better decisions and the stress doesn't eat away at my joints and my muscles. The number 2 thing is to use essential oils. I use them all the time. I recommend them. You want to get a therapeutic high grade essential oil, and lavender is a really good essential oil to calm the system down. There's even been some times where I put a little lavender right into my nose like that, and I just leave it there so that I keep breathing it. Or you can diffuse it, or you can smell it in any way you want. Some people put it in jewelry, like my bracelet has like a little volcano rock on it that I can put the oil in and it will be in my fragrance, but there's lots of different ways to do it. Ylang Ylang is another one, spelled Y-L-A-N-G, Y-L-A-N-G, Ylang Ylang's how you say it. And that is another really good essential oil to help calm the system. Now, sometimes if you're really spent and really, really agitated, Lang Lang may be a little bit more effective than lavender. So if you don't like lavender, or it's never really worked and you've tried it, make sure you get a therapeutic grade. Essential oil is not the same as a fragrance oil. I had one of my clients, I told him all about it, and guess what he did? He went to Dollar Tree, of all places, and got a fragrance oil that was lavender scented, and he wondered why it wouldn't work. I said, well, bring it in, let me see. And it was a fragrance oil. Those things are petroleum based, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about an essential oil that comes from the plant, that's distilled down in a healthy way so that it's therapeutic for you to align with it and breathe with it. And so lavender or Lang Lang are the two best that I know. There's plenty of others. So if there's an essential oil that you like that helps calm you down, use it. But use them frequently. Sometimes people use essential oils only when it's the end of the line. And I think stress kind of builds up. I think if we get up in the morning and we have a little stress, if we don't stop and breathe and meditate in the middle, which often we don't, then by the end of the day, that level's a little high. It's a little vibration, you know, underneath. So why don't we use some essential oils, make ourselves feel better? Number three is having a nice warm beverage. Yes, a nice warm beverage. I love to wrap my hands around one of my teacups. Often I'll have an herbal tea that doesn't have caffeine in it, because caffeine will set the adrenals off a little. And I allow myself to have an herbal tea that is peaceful and calm. Sometimes I will have chamomile in it, sometimes it will be red tea. Anything without caffeine in it that tastes good to you is fine. Now, you don't want to add sugars or anything to this tea, because the sugar, white sugar, or caffeine ramp the system back up, and we're trying to calm the system. So what we want to do is have a tea or a warm beverage that soothes us. Some people warm milk. Some people make, I make sometimes some warm water, and I just put squeezed lemon in it. That's it. And it just tastes good to me. Sometimes it's just the warmth with your hands around the cup you're drinking it out of really help calm the system, help decrease the stress. Because warm, something warm, helps take the stress out of the body. Sometimes if I'm under a lot of stress and I'm driving, I will have a warm beverage with me, but I'll also turn the heated seats on in my car. Sometimes just so that my system can go, oh, that feels so good. So that works out really well too. Or maybe a warm bath or a nice warm long shower. Warmth nurtures the body. Now, I'm not talking hot to the point where it's like, ooh, but warmth nurtures the body. That's why people, one of the reasons why hot tubs are so great, right, is warmth. A warm beverage soothes the soul in a really nice way. Sometimes I use different kinds of broth, bone broth usually, because it's loaded with protein. It helps your digestion system, your intestines kind of work better. And if you're under a lot of stress, they're feeling a little off. And it really is nice and soothing and warm. The fourth thing I do is to reduce your stress that I do and I suggest to people, and that is to connect with somebody else. Humans, our brains, are wired to be connected to others of the same species. And sometimes when your stress level is high, you don't want to be around people or you don't want to talk to people. And sometimes that's the very thing we really could use to help decrease the stress level. So I have several people in my life that I use to help myself with my stress. Some people I go have fun with. We'll go out and we'll do something fun and laugh, and it'll distract me from what's stressing me out. But more than that, I'm connecting to somebody who's important to me. More than that, I have a human-to-human face interaction. It's amazing how great that works. Sometimes I will connect with another person and we'll just go play. You know, sometimes it'll be a big conversation, but it's a connection that matters. I prefer the human connection to decrease stress to be in person, because our brains harmonize within a few minutes of being connected. And so it really helps us regulate better. But if you can't do that, hearing the person's voice is just as good. Connecting with another person is not through texting or email. those aren't real connection in the sense that I'm speaking of. I'm speaking of where we either auditorily and or visually have a connection to that person. And you want it to be a safe person. So I have several different people in my world that I connect with that help reduce my stress level. Sometimes just hearing their voice makes things better. Number five is to commune with nature. Communing with nature is really, really important. And I'm fortunate because I live in Florida and we have beautiful weather just about the whole year. So if you like it warm, you got all summer. If you like it warm, you have all winter. You know, it's always nice here. Very rarely is it not. And I have some friends of mine that live in the Pacific Northwest and up in the Northeast and some in the middle of the country. And they love all the seasons. Some of them love to hike in snow or go snow skiing or all the different ways to commune with nature. So the idea here to reduce your stress in communing with nature is just that, connecting with nature. Not just going, oh, I'm outside walking. No, no, no. What I'm talking about is stopping for a second and noticing what you see in nature, noticing the wildflowers, noticing the glistening of the snow, noticing the sound of the birds. How does your skin feel the breeze? Is there wind? Is it gentle breeze? Is it warm? Is it cold? Is it raining? All of the different ways that nature feeds us. I love the full moon. I love nighttime. I love the stars. I love to be especially out sailing where I can just let that moon in. It's beautiful to me. So whenever I know it's going to be a clear night and the moon's going to be out, I'll just go and just look at the moon. Just, oh, it's just beautiful. I just love it. And that communing with nature takes the stress right out of my body. I can feel it melting right away. And some people, it's going to the beach, feeling their toes in the sand. Some people, it's hiking. It's the big redwoods or the sequoias. It doesn't really matter what turns you on. It matters that you do it. It matters that you go out there and you commune with nature. You go connect to the greater nature of the universe in a way that is meaningful to you and breathe. Exhale and let the power of nature soothe you, relax you, soothe your soul, kind of like being held like a baby by the power of the universe. Just think about that. Being held like a little child, like a baby, and with the power of the universe holding you. When you're connected to nature, that's what it is. You're allowing yourself to just rest in the arms of the nature and the universe all around you. It's just a fabulous experience. What you might want to try is when you travel or go someplace that's not your home, check out the nature there. It's a different nature, right? I've been all over the place, and every time I go someplace, I love to check out what the nature feels like. You know, the air is going to feel different. The vegetation is different. The feel is different. And all of that connecting with nature keeps my stress level down, and it will keep yours down too. Number six is to focus your attention on gratitude. And you've heard all about having an attitude of gratitude or write a gratitude list. I see it as a little bigger than that, a little bit more expanded. I see it as walking around with a consciousness of thank you. Now, one of the ways I practice this is every time I go through a doorway, I say thank you. Not for anything and not to anyone, but just thank you. In an existential, spiritual, emotional, energy way, I'm offering gratitude, like just thank you. Thank you that I'm alive. Thank you for the air. Thank you for the doorway. You can't list it all, so you don't have to. It's holding the awareness of gratitude. We know gratitude changes our brain for the better. It relaxes our system and decreases our stress level. It allows for better authentic communication and connection in all of our relationships, including the one with ourself. It completely changes things for the better for all of us. So gratitude is really, really important. And holding that space of gratitude, no matter what, is key. There's three kinds of gratitude, okay? There's the gratitude for the things that we desire or that we're happy about or that we're good for. Like, I'm really grateful I got a good parking spot. Or I'm grateful that this person came into my life. Or I'm grateful for this business deal. Or I'm grateful for fill in the blank. There's also gratitude in the face of something that's not so desirable. Like, you know, maybe it didn't work out, but I'm still grateful because I'm alive, right? And so I may not be excited about the events or what's happening, and I still can have an attitude of gratitude, which is the goal. The third kind of gratitude is really powerful, and that's more of what I'm speaking of here, and that is having gratitude for gratitude's sake. Being grateful for the sake of being grateful, not for anything and not because of anything. And that is the goal. On a higher spiritual level, on a universal, internal, high level, to be grateful. Have that energy about us that exudes out, that exudes our joy. And as a visionary leader, I know that gratitude is part of my vision. And the visionary leaders I work with, then we will see that gratitude, and the more they open their heart to gratitude, then the better things work out for them, and the lower their stress level is, and their life becomes much more in flow. So gratitude is very core onto the foundation of everything that all of us are doing, particularly you visionaries. You must develop a way of feeling grateful. If you're not feeling grateful and experiencing gratitude, that's usually because there's some kind of unresolved gookiness in there, I call it, or something that's in the way. And that's, I help people get that unstuck and move them on. So it's important that you address those things that are in your way. And number seven is to practice self-compassion. A lot of people kind of poo-poo this idea, but I think it's really important to have compassion for yourself. Now, compassion means that this human life is a great adventure, and sometimes it rocks, and sometimes it's hard, and sometimes it's painful, and sometimes it's wonderful, and it's just all of that whole big, sometimes mess, and sometimes brilliance, and sometimes like fireworks, and sometimes like mud. It's just all over the place, and it's time for us to have compassion for ourselves, for all of the mistakes we've made, for all the blunders, for the things we didn't do that we should have done, for the stuff we did we wish we didn't do, all of it, we can still have compassion. It doesn't mean the consequences go away or we don't have to address things. No, no, no. What it does mean is that if I can have compassion myself for the great adventure of being human, I'm human, then it takes the stress and the pressure off having to do everything perfectly right the first time. Because oldest children and only children, and a lot of visionaries out there that I work with anyway, have difficulty with self-compassion because there's such high standards and so motivated and so in our face that we're taught we have to be a certain way or perform a certain way in order to be acceptable. And the truth is, you're perfect and acceptable just the way you are. There is no doubt about it. So if you have any part of you that isn't so sure that you're perfect and whole and complete just the way you are, then contact me. I'll help remind you who you are. So let's run through the seven simple tips to help you reduce your stress right now. It's tip one, breathe from your belly, right? Starting with an exhale and then inhaling. Tip two, using essential oils. Lavender or lang lang are great, and if there's another one that helps soothe you, that's great, but make sure it's essential oil, not a fragrance oil. Number three is enjoy a warm beverage that's caffeine free. Sometimes I like just water with a little bit of lemon in it, and sometimes it's nice herbal teas that are caffeine free naturally that just soothe the body and help bring myself down from the stress. Number four is connecting with another person, face-to-face or auditory, not texting, not emailing. That's not connection. You can do that, but that's not this kind of connection. To reduce our stress, we need to have a connection, either auditory, visually, or both. Number five is to commune with nature. And you can do that at night or in the morning or in the north or the south. There's so many options. So I always like to commune with nature wherever I am, when I'm traveling especially, because I can feel the difference in the air, and I can feel the breeze, I feel the sun, and check out the stars. It's just beautiful. Sometimes I walk through meadows or walk just through the yard and look for the small little wildflowers. And when I'm doing that, I'm connecting with an energy and the creation of the universe much greater than me, and it decreases my stress level naturally. Then number six is focus your attention on gratitude. and having gratitude for gratitude's sake without having to have a reason for it. And number 7 is to practice self-compassion, because after all, you are amazing. I am amazing. We're all amazing. We're human beings having a great human experience, and sometimes we deserve the same compassion we would afford another person. So there are your 7 simple tips to help you reduce your stress right now. None of them are all that hard. There's other ones we could add to this list that might take a little bit more, but I wanted to give you some simple, easy to do, actionable things to reduce your stress right now so you can enjoy health and vitality and joy. Visionary people require a nice, beautiful flow of energy, and when we're not really living in that space, it can really drag us down. So we want to all the time be taking care of our stress levels so that we're optimizing our perfect way of being. Yeah, that's it. Optimizing your perfect way of being. I like that. So until next time, remember, you're a rock star, and go out there and reduce your stress. Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit someonegetsme.com. Again, thanks for listening.